and welcome back to Vocation Station. This is Father Alfredo Hernandez, Rector President of St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary in Boynton Beach, Florida. And it is great to be with you on Divine Mercy Radio for one more episode of Vocation Station. And the year has started off really beautifully here at St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary. And I am glad to introduce to you today a deacon from the Archdiocese of Atlanta. He is in what we now call the vocational synthesis stage and preparing, God willing, to be ordained a priest this coming May. Okay, I'm never quite sure of the Atlanta ordination dates. He could tell us a little bit more about that. But Deacon Jacob, it is wonderful to have you with us. Why don't you tell us a little about yourself, and then we can continue our conversation.
Great. Yeah, it's good to be with you as well, Father. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so I am from Atlanta, from the Archdiocese of Atlanta, like you said, born and raised there, grew up with, I'm one of five kids. So I have I have an older sister, older brother, and then younger sister, younger brother. They're now married and the family is growing. My older sister is, as we record this, she's a couple weeks away from giving birth to her second child.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And my older brother, he already has two now. So the second was just born, gosh, maybe a month or two ago. So fairly new. Our family's, you know, continuing to expand and to grow, which is exciting. So grew up in Atlanta and went to college there, and I'm more or less a public school kid, and grew up through the public school system, went to college, and after college I graduated with a degree in finance and worked as basically an accountant for a small company in Atlanta for a couple years before finally taking the plunge into seminary life.
Well, I'm nodding because I spent all of 6 months as an accountant before realizing God was calling me to something else, and it took me a little bit longer to figure out what it was, but I am also a recovered accountant.
There's a lot of us in seminary, the recovering accountants. I feel like accountants and engineers.
We have a lot of them.
Yeah, there's something about, I don't know, something about those two programs, those two areas of study that seem to lend themselves to theology and priesthood. I don't know exactly what it is.
And not something you'd expect.
Right, yeah. So I studied finance and worked for a couple of years. I remember telling my boss at the company that I was gonna quit my job, and I wasn't sure if I should have told him, you know, I'm gonna join seminary. I was kind of debating whether to tell him I'm joining seminary or not. And so I figured, let me just tell him that I'm gonna quit, and then I'll kind of see where the conversation goes. And he did ask. He said, well, is there, you know, another position that you're accepting? Because maybe we can try to, you know, match, I don't know, whatever. And I said, no, it's, you know, it's not technically like another position. I said, no, I'm going to join seminary to become a Catholic priest. And he wasn't Catholic, but I was struck by the support that he had, the support that he gave me, and the encouragement. And it was a small company that I worked for, and they all actually, as word spread, that they all became pretty supportive, which was good. It helped give me a little more courage entering seminary.
That's beautiful.
So yeah. Just the support of coworkers and of course my family, they're supportive as well. So it's been a gift.
That is great. You remind me when I ended up working at a college right before coming to seminary, and I was supposed to be there, work there for a couple, but I had promised I was going to be there at least 3 years, and I was only there two because I was coming to seminary. And my boss, who was the dean of students, said, yeah, we can't fight God. So he accepted it and was supportive, but was not happy that I was leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, God's a hard one to fight, especially with the name of Jacob. I have a little history of fighting God.
Yeah, don't want your hip injured.
That's, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So yes, that journey, how is it that the Lord called you, if you don't mind sharing?
Yes. Yeah. So it's actually through the inspiration of my older brother. So my older brother, he's a year and a half older than I am. And growing up, we were always competitive and just about everything, you know, I guess as most boys are. But it kind of took a turn in towards the end of high school into college. We were born and raised Catholic, but around that time, towards the end of high school, my older brother started getting more involved in his faith and started going to Bible studies and praying the rosary and going to daily mass when he could. And it started off purely as competition. I just wanted to you know, be better than him and prove that, you know, I can pray more rosaries and I can go to more Bible studies and you know, beat him, quote unquote. But then it was I began to realize just the beauty of the faith and how much depth there is there and just the goodness of God. And so that kind of flipped a switch in my head and sent me on a deeper journey into the Catholic faith. And it wasn't long after that, maybe a couple years later, I did a summer missionary experience, kind of like a camp counselor with Life Teen. And so I did a summer with them, and it was there in their Life Teen summer camp that I really felt the invitation to the priesthood. And that was more or less all she wrote. There was a little bit of wrestling between, do I really want to become a priest? God, is that really what you want from me? Is that really where I'm going to find happiness and joy and fulfillment? So there was a little bit of wrestling, but you know, as we just mentioned, it's hard to wrestle with God to beat God anyways.
Absolutely. As you said, for somebody named Jacob. And, and so you came here, it's been just over 6 years now since you arrived on this campus. Back then we called it pre-theology. It's the discipleship stage now, but that's what basically for someone who is coming out of college and they need to study philosophy. So you got a master's in philosophy here before going on to theology. Yeah, tell us a little about your journey here at Simmons and Paul.
It's been an amazing journey. A journey that I look back now in my final year of seminary and I think it's gone by unbelievably fast. I was reflecting on this actually before this year started, just thinking about, you know, my first trip down from Atlanta down here to Florida and how long that car ride felt and the nerves that I had pulling through the gates to the seminary for the first time. But now I look back and it seems like it was just yesterday that, you know, I began my journey here in seminary. But it's been an amazing journey, a journey like I feel like I've grown so much as a man, as a disciple of Jesus, as a Catholic, as you know, in so many ways. I feel like I've grown and become more mature and more myself, really. It is funny. I remember my mom, this was when I had already graduated from college and I was working for a little bit, and she pulled me aside at one point and she said, "Jacob, you don't seem happy. Are you happy where you're at? Are you happy working?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm kind of thinking about the priesthood, but I said, "Yeah, mom, you know, I'm happy. This is, you know, I've got a good job and, you know, things are working out, you know, I'm content where I'm at." And she said, "Yeah, you just don't seem happy." But I can say since joining seminary and since being here, it's the happiest I've ever been. And I can't imagine doing anything else than seminary, than priesthood, than, you know, following the Lord down this path, which has been a huge blessing in my life.
That's great to hear. And just, I think for some of our listeners, they might be a little surprised about that. I think even as much as Catholics love their priests and want to have good priests, I'm not sure that all Catholics, even most Catholics, really have a sense of the joy of responding to the vocation. Can you just say a little more about that?
Yeah, it's actually something that struck me here at St. Vincent de Paul. I remember my first week here at the seminary, seeing the priests that we have here on faculty, the priests that live here, the residents, and I remember being struck by the joy that they have, and the excitement and the energy that they bring. And for me, I feel like up until before I joined seminary, I had experienced a couple priests. I had met a couple priests that had a lot of energy and just great joy, just joy for the Lord, joy for their vocation. It seemed pretty infrequent that I encountered a priest like that. But here at the seminary, I think we were super blessed in the priests that we have, the men that we have here, both the seminarians and the priests, but specifically the priests. I remember just encountering the joy that they have. And that has been a huge motivating factor for me as well. Seeing, I feel like I almost feed off the energy that they bring and the joy that they have and the excitement and the love that they have for the Lord. I think I see it flowing into the work that they do every day. And for me, it helps me embrace that more and more. But the joy of serving God, I feel like for me, and I feel like I've seen this in seminary, since beginning seminary, the joy really, I think it comes from knowing that I am where Jesus wants me to be. And it's been a huge gift, you know, just little small moments in prayer, ordinary moments just throughout the day. You know, down here in South Florida, we'll get a nice sunrise or something, or even a cool sunset. And just seeing the little moments of God's blessing in my life and just like little affirmations, little encouragements, little moments when I feel like the Lord once again tells me, I love you and I'm proud of you and I'm here for you and will never abandon you. And that adds obviously to the joy of serving him and giving my whole life to him. So just, yeah, kind of, I guess to answer your question directly, it's been kind of a twofold thing,
right?
Seeing the joy that other priests have, but also the joy that my own vocation, following my vocation, has brought me.
That's great. No, that's beautiful. And I wish our listeners could see your face, because just the smile is so real. He's not making this stuff up. It is very, very real. And that is just so important for the people of God. Deacon Jacob has heard me tell this story a few times, but there's a story told by a famous theologian, Karl Rahner, that he tells a story about a priest friend whose mother was dying. And the mother says to her son, "My son, I want to have a final meal with you and toast with champagne. And then when I die, you must not be sad." And the son says, "Mother, how could you say that? Of course I'm going to mourn you." And her response was, "Oh, my son, no one will believe a sad priest." Mm-hmm. And that's just so important for us to have a sense. Obviously, there is sorrow in our lives. Very, very real things happen that bring us pain. But to have that sense of just knowing, as I've heard some people say, I've peeked and I've looked at the back of the book and I know God wins. and that's we as a priest, as a deacon, and really all of us as Catholic Christians, we know God wins. And if he's winning and he has us doing exactly what he wants us to do, how can we not be full of joy? So thanks for sharing your joy. So you started here. Tell a little about what the journey's been like.
Yeah, it's been a journey of lots of ups and downs. I remember the first time I came here, like I said, I was excited, a little nervous. I'd never been to a seminary before. So this was a brand new experience. And the priest that was kind of in charge of me, I guess you could say, Father Nicholas Kakia, who, of course, you know well.
Right.
He was such a huge help for me to kind of bring me into seminary life, to teach me kind of the ropes, you know, what to do, what not to do, how to live seminary well, how to be patient with yourself as you're learning things, as you're trying to figure out how to pray, you know, just small things. But how to be patient with yourself and to love the Lord more and more just each day and in a, you know, just a small way. So he was a huge help for me to come into seminary life. But then since that, you know, and even within seminary life, like in my own personal family, there's been, you know, deaths and my older sister and my older brother both got married while I was in seminary. And so there's been, yeah, great moments of joy, great moments of sorrow. Like you said.
I think you actually didn't finish what you were saying, that Father Nicholas Kakia passed away in the summer of 21, really right after you're finishing that first stage and getting ready to move into the stage of theology, or we now call configuration. We're really saying, I'm all in. I'm heading forth, heading and doing this. And this had never occurred to me, but you probably received candidacy, which is a very important moment, probably a few days before, a few days after he passed away.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you for that. I did. I remember we were about to receive candidacy. Let me try to remember now. I think, yeah, it was right around I think I had received it a couple days before he ended up passing, right, like you say. Which was kind of bittersweet. Of course, bitter because he was big in my journey in seminary, especially those first few years. But it was kind of sweet in a certain sense because I knew I had someone in heaven who was cheering me on, so to speak. Someone who was by my side and willing to help me from the heavenly side, which is a gift. It's a consolation for me. As you said, this is my beginning, my seventh year in seminary. All the whole time has been here at the seminary, and it's been a great gift. And seeing even the journey that my family has been on, because obviously they're not in seminary, I am, but kind of by extension, they're learning more about the church. They're learning more. They didn't realize it was a 7, 8, 9, 10
Absolutely.
Year process. So they're learning more as well, and it's been a great joy. I was reflecting on this actually the other day with someone. There's only since when I joined seminary, there's only I think. Let's see, one there's like three or four priests who are still here that were here when I joined originally,
right?
Which is, you know, and that's you know, I don't know if that's normal. I assume it's somewhat normal for seminaries, but
turnover, yes,
right, yeah. And you know, of course, priests are in pretty high demand, so dioceses are wanting priests, but yeah. So it is interesting that even in these past a little over 6 years, to see how the seminary's changed, and to see, okay, it's still the same place, still the same buildings, but you know, the personnel has changed, and it's brought in a different atmosphere to it, and which changes honestly every year. And the seminarians change, of course, which obviously brings new challenges, new joys with that as well.
No, that's certainly true, and yeah, you've seen us. You saw a new rector and new administrators and new faculty, as different people, some retired and some went to other assignments. And yeah, so a lot of different things happened along the way. And you experienced in that at the end of your first year here, that was the time of COVID, and the COVID spring. And then the year that we were, COVID spring, we were in a bubble, and it was a pretty tight bubble. COVID, the 2021 year, it was, I like to call it a bubble with membrane, permeable membrane. But yeah, so how did that mark your time of formation for good or maybe particular challenges?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And just as you're thinking, I remember in February of 2020, we were on a mission trip together to the Dominican Republic, and COVID was just beginning to be talked about, and people would ask us at the airport, have you been to China? And that was it. And a month later, the world was upside down. So, right. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great question. As I'm sure you've seen over the years, especially your first year, maybe bleeding into your second year, the seminarians, your first couple years of seminary, you have so much energy, and you want to, a lot of us, I'll speak for myself. I should say I wanted to like change the world. You know, I came into seminary with a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, and I wanted to change the world. And having COVID come, and then instead of me wanting to go out into the world, it's like, well, now you have to stay put, and you have to stay, you know, on campus, and you know that you can go to class and you can go to your room, and that's about it. And so that was a challenge. It was a challenge for me. But looking back, I see the beauty of it. And it was something that Bishop Toops, when he was rector, before he was bishop, he used kind of the analogy of Noah's Ark, that, right, you know, we're on this ark together, and as soon as we can open the doors, we will, but we can't do it just yet. And leading into the next year, I had kind of adopted the idea of the Holy Family at Nazareth. And Jesus kind of living this hidden life. He's just kind of, you know, nothing spectacular, at least nothing recorded in scripture. And he's just, it's a very hidden, normal life. But it's an important life. It's an important, you know, the Lord was moving in Jesus's own heart and the heart of Mary and Joseph. And there's, you know, God's moving there and God's accomplishing things, even in the hiddenness. And so that was something that helped me, and I think it's something I still go back to, is, you know, that period of I was going to say isolation, but we weren't really isolated. We had, you know, 100 guys here, but just that you know, that little bit of restriction that we had, and it was a time of challenge, but it also was a time where I felt like the Lord was moving profoundly in my own heart. And preparing me more and more for ministry.
That's beautiful to hear. And certainly it was a time of great pain in the lives of many. But I think with anything in life is, okay, how was, a lot of times asking the question, hey, why do things happen? I prefer to ask what for. And so how can this, whatever situation it is, be an opportunity for grace? And that's what I saw here on this campus. And I even think back, certainly we know that we live in a society with great many divisions. Pope Leo's motto is "In the One Christ we are one," and one thing I remember, maybe I was dreaming, but in 2021 there was a lot of craziness in our country, and in a sense I felt somewhat insulated from it here. I don't remember feeling the craziness as much as I remember kind of when the year ended and the summer of 21 was, it's like, okay, we're going back out to the real world now. And so there was some benefits, at least that I could see.
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember feeling the same thing, actually. Yeah. That, you know, obviously there's things going on in the world, but yeah, there was, I don't know exactly how to describe it. There was like a little buffer almost, it seemed like.
So for you, and as you are, you're now a deacon, and while you're here, even though you're a deacon of the Archdiocese of Atlanta, you are serving in a local parish. How is that going for you as you're serving in a parish now?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's great. Yeah, each weekend, you know, obviously during the week we're taking classes here, but then on the weekends we go to the parish and help out. I feel like my seminary journey now is coming full circle, because my very first year in seminary, there was a transitional deacon here from the Archdiocese of Miami, and we sat next to each other all year in the chapel. And now here it is my final year in seminary, and I've been assigned to his church for my pastoral assignment. So I feel like just as I started the year as kind of chapel buddies with Father Andrew, now I'm ending my time in seminary as chapel buddies, so to speak, with Father Andrew. So that it's been great. It's been really good. Like I said, he's in the Archdiocese of Miami, so that's I'm serving in the Archdiocese of Miami at a parish. Elizabeth Ann Seton is the name of it.
And,
beautiful. It's been fantastic. It's a great community. Getting more comfortable preaching. I've already got several baptisms scheduled that I'll be doing. I think maybe even a wedding, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been fantastic just to get to do ministry while also being in seminary, taking classes and trying to do, get the best of both worlds almost.
Well, that is terrific. And certainly I'm seeing, and our listeners are hearing, your joy, and it's important to be joyful in the moment now. I don't hear you sort of whiling away the time, just, oh, I can't wait to be a priest, but you can't wait to be a priest. So
right.
What is it that brings you joy as you look forward to your priestly ordination, and let us know the date.
Right. I'll be ordained a priest, God willing, of course, May 30th.
Beautiful.
Yeah, very, very end of May, which is funny because I was ordained a deacon May 31st. Mm. So it's almost, you know, almost just 1 year later. But yeah, I'm really excited. I can't wait to be a priest. There's a lot of things. I remember when I was joining seminary, one of the big things that kind of sparked my interest in the priesthood was the idea of confession. And I had experienced some pretty profound confessions in my life, and I just thought, what a gift that is to be a priest who can forgive sins, you know, and to act in the person of Christ and to bring peace and pardon to people. And it played a big part in my own life, my own faith journey, and so that is something that I'm really looking forward to is hearing confessions and forgiving sins. Obviously the mass is a, you know, I guess the sacraments in general, I can kind of make it a little bit more general. Sacraments in general, I am looking forward to. There is something that I'm looking forward to, but I'm trying to figure it out as well, which is, as a priest, there's a lot of people who will come to see you about variety of issues. And it's important. I think it's a good quality to have in a priest that you want to help people. But a lot of times I'm realizing as I'm beginning to do a little bit more ministry, I'm beginning that you can't help everyone. And a lot of times it's not your position to help,
right,
so to speak, to fix things. And so a lot of times it's kind of listening and patiently, maybe guiding the conversation in a certain direction, but there's, you know, maybe it's not your place to give an answer or to tell someone you need to do this or that. And so that is something that I think I'm growing more into is wrestling with my own desire to help people, but also recognizing I can't fix everything. And
right.
And it's up to the Lord at the end of the day.
And people need to be actors themselves. And they're being open to what God wants for them. One of our priests recently gave a homily, and he mentioned a priest he knew who would say to people, they brought all sorts of problems up, and he says, expecting that he was going to give an answer, and he says, so what are you going to do about that? And for all of us, I think that's important. For us, this, and certainly as priests, to be able to help people to see what God is calling them to do. Mm. And that's the biggest help that we can do, not fixing their problems. Mm. And for all of us to know, what am I going to do about, first of all, being the man or the woman I'm called to be? What am I going to do about responding to the challenges of the world and the challenges of those around me? And certainly, Deacon Jacob, I thank you for your giving a response, for your yes. Maybe just two simple questions before we close up. Are your nephews and nieces of age to know what you're doing yet, any of them, or too little?
Yeah, a little too little.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're going to love having an uncle a priest. As having done weddings for my nephews and nieces and baptisms for grandnephews and nieces, it's a wonderful thing. And who prays more, you or your brother?
I beat him. I have beat him. Let it be known.
Well, it is wonderful to be with you, and certainly the Archdiocese of Atlanta is going to be blessed. And your brother's going to listen to this. Let's see what he has to say.
Yeah.
But please pray for Deacon Jacob Butts and for all of his classmates. And Deacon Jacob, thank you for your yes. Thank you for giving yourself to a life of ministry. May that joy be with you always. And to all of you, our listeners, please pray for us. Pray for our seminary And we will see you next month on Vocation Station. God bless you.